So don't take that for granted. You have a family. Rachel?
I put bearing as cross.
Okay, all right. Very good. That's actually one of them on here, cross-bearing. And that's just generic enough to be able to cover really anything that would be difficult, right? And we know literally Jesus' cross-bearing was extremely difficult because it's talking about a literal one that he was forced to carry after he was flogged and beaten and starved. But since it's not even legal to kill people that way anymore, you know, it's a lot more likely you're going to be asked to do something else hard, physically or mentally or spiritually.
That I put comfortable.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's more application, which we're about to get into. So, following the Lord may cost you your family. That is one of the, I don't know if it's in the book or not, but it is a major thrust of the text, okay? Jesus mentions almost every family relationship that we can have in that one verse. He even mentions children and siblings, okay? So this literally affects everybody, okay? I think I said last week that even if you don't get married or even have siblings, you are someone's child. Everybody is somebody's child. So there's at least that relationship that you're expected to give up. You know, we talk about converts in difficult countries, like the Middle East, where Islam is very popular. You know, young people, actually any people really, doesn't they don't have to be young, who want to convert, it's that religion inundates that society so much that it automatically makes you an outcast. And when you're an outcast over there, it's not like you can relocate and start over here, like you can here. You have to leave. It's very, very difficult. Also, okay, so the point Niue made, following the Lord may cost you your life. And now, and this is hard to, you know, give an example of, because you guys, our lives aren't expected of us. You know, mentally, yes, Jesus says, you have to follow me, but nobody comes into our church and threatens our life just because we're here. That doesn't happen in most places in America. In 1990, so about 30 years ago, I can't even pronounce this name, Nicolae Ceaușescu was overthrown in Romania, and many believers died that year. December 17th, which is actually in about a month, 30 children were holding candles in protest of their lack of religious freedom, and his security appeared and shot all 30 of them. Okay, that is something, and that is, I mean, that's kind of a rare example. Very rarely do children actually, you know, picket by themselves. But over the next several days after that, I'm sure they found the families and poured acid on them and pulled out their hair and put boiling water on them. Has anybody spilled water on themselves? Boiling water? I can't say it's boiling, but, you know, you make a cup of tea or whatever. You heat up the water first. Holy cow, that hurts. It's like, bad. But slowly and consistently and really, truly boiling, being poured over your skin. In some places, it melts it off or separates it enough from the flesh, it just falls off. Okay? They bound some of the victims with wire and killed... This is graphic, but, you know, killed the children of pregnant women without killing the women. And then, you know, of course, if they survive, because that's a really, there's a lot of blood, you know, in those areas during that time. But if they survive, having to live past that. So Frank's question is, when you think about that, even if you're just one of the kids holding a candle, it doesn't say their age, just says small, and you knew you might be shot. You know, we hold vigils sometimes. This next month, there's going to be a candlelight service on Christmas Eve. Okay, everybody in the community, it's a community thing, because supposedly a lot of people come and visit it and recognize Christmas with us. Everybody knows we're going to be there, right? So if you have somebody with a very nasty chip on their shoulder come and sees you holding a candle that night, would you be okay with this same thing happening? Would you be comfortable enough in your Christianity to take a bullet for God? because that is what some people are asked to do. All right. I don't think I want to get to it today, but Casey brought up the next major point, and that is following the Lord may cost you your popularity. Actually, we can't get into it. Just to say, I cover the main ones. Okay. What is popularity? Let's define it really quick. Can you guys define it for me? You brought it up, Case. What's popularity? Oh, I'm sorry, Isaac.
Everyone liking you.
Everyone liking you. Okay.
Having like tons of friends.
Being popular. Wanting to be liked, right. But it realistically, even popular, the popular kids aren't liked by everybody, right? Like,
yeah.
They're liked by the majority, right? There's always a holdout group that's like, oh, you know, jocks are the worst, and or whatever. What?
Thanks.
Yeah, hey, well, yeah, okay. No offense, but people on the swim team usually aren't even considered jocks, but even though you are, you know, just because that term is usually reserved for football and basketball players. I was going to say soccer doesn't even get it usually, and I didn't even go to school and I know this stuff, you know. It's you know, so it's and that's petty, right? Why judge between the types of sports? That's ridiculous. But that's the point. Is popularity is you know, objective. It's in the eye of the beholder. Now this goes straight into applying it to witnessing. But let's go back to Isaac's answer, if we can. What did you say? Repeat what you said about what popularity meant.
Like having most people like you and like having lots of friends.
Okay. Let's focus on that first sentence. Having most what like you?
People.
Okay. As in humans, right? Okay. Why would we care what humans think? Why do we care what humans think? Yes, it is. It is a flaw. And that's actually like the end goal I was going to try to get to. So you just skipped our journey. But let's backtrack. Okay? Why do we crave approval? Obviously, we as Christians have the overall understanding that we're flawed. Why do you think your unsaved friends crave approval?
Because of unapproval.
Can you explain that?
Because they are not approved.
Oh, so they want something they don't have. Which is natural, right? What is our natural inclination, our sinful inclination? The grass is always greener where? On the other side of the fence. And because it looks like that, I want to live on the other side of the fence, right? That's called jealousy. And then
more plain, you have more over back where you were than you do at the
exactly, which is one of the other reasons that God says for us to be what? In whatever situation you find yourself, be content. Why? Well, not only because God put you there, but also because it's pretty likely you have it a lot better than you think. Okay? That's why God discourages complaining. Why he encourages looking out for someone besides yourself. Because it's very natural to say, I want me to be the most comfortable, so I'm going to live life that way.
I know with my friends who have divorced parents,
mm-hmm.
they like coming over to my house
because
mm-hmm. my parents are together.
Yep. And as much as hard as their parent tries to make it seem normal, there's something about a two-parent household that seems more whole. And you can't get around that. And that's because that's the way God intended it. And literally, whether your parents try to or not, they just being there, they foster an atmosphere of love, right? That your friends desire.
I know with